Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our devotion tonight. It is September 23rd, 2024. And tonight I want to talk about pride. There's a joke that states that the humblest man in the world was once given a ribbon as recognition for his humility. However, when he wore it, they took it away. And it's a little bit of a joke, but it does point out something about the danger of pride. As I'm going to talk about pride and humility tonight, it's interesting because one of the reasons that pride is so dangerous is that it's hard to notice all the time. When one is starting to surrender more and more of their life to God, they usually reach a point where they start to notice that they're succeeding and growing in grace and humility. It's usually at this point that pride rears its ugly head and says, "Hey, you're doing a good job, buddy. Keep it going." And pride often starts as a result of noticing that some good things have been accomplished. The problem occurs when we start to feel as if we deserve credit for what God has done in our lives. And one of the funniest things about we as people, like, you know, everything we have has been given to us through the grace of God, and more than we deserve, better than we deserve. But the funny thing that I find in life is that I'll start to, me as a person, like when things start going good, my flesh wants to go, "Hey, you're doing it. It's because of you and this and the other." And you just got to kind of like remind your flesh that it's nothing. And if it wasn't for God, you know, giving you your next breath, you couldn't accomplish anything. And like Paul told the Corinthians, which of you have something that God didn't give you? And sometimes it's funny because your pride will rear up, and it started as something good, but it tries to take credit for it. And sometimes we can look pretty foolish when we think it's because we're doing a good job. It's like the story of the preacher who found a shoebox in his closet up on the top shelf, and he opened it, and he found strange contents. Inside was an egg carton with 5 eggs in it. And next to the eggs was a stack of bills that totaled over $10,000. As soon as his wife walked through the door, he stopped her and asked if she knew anything about this odd combination. "Yes, dear. After we got married, I decided that every sermon you preached, if it was a bad one, I'd put an egg in the shoebox." The preacher thought with pride about all the years they'd been married and that only 5 eggs were in the box. "But honey, what about the $10,000? "Oh, well, every time I get a dozen of eggs, I sell them." So yeah, funny thing is, preacher says, "Hey, there's only 5 eggs in here. I must be doing a good job." "No, sir, you've done so bad so many times, they've reset and sold every dozen." But that's the funny thing about us, is we tend to, when something comes down that it could be, I could take credit for it, or I could see where I did something wrong, we as people usually will try to take credit for it. We like to judge ourselves by our intentions and others by their actions. That's because of pride. And what's interesting is we find ourselves in these situations where we have the option to take the humble route or the proud route. And Jesus gives this parable in Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. He gives a parable and he kind of warns about how to approach when you have the option to take the lofty road or the humble road. It says, "And when he noticed how the guests picked their place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important role. But when you arrive, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." And, you know, I like this verse because I've started to get really good at humbling myself. I'm kidding, of course. But this is a great place to start when thinking about how pride and humility and how they interact with one another. And if we're willing to present ourselves as humble, we will already be in a good starting position. And our next verse for tonight is Proverbs 16:18. It says, "Pride," everybody knows this verse, "pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall." This verse is often misquoted, just kind of shortened down to say, pride comes before the fall. And although the general thrust of the verse is maintained, there is some difference between destruction and fall in this verse. The Hebrew term for destruction is seber, S-E-B-E-R, and is often translated as breached. The idea here is that the wall is being knocked down. So pride comes before the breach, right? And the Hebrew term for fall, from the root word kasal, K-A-S-A-L, which is translated as fall or stumble, and even points to weakness of the legs or ankles. This shows a progression in pride. First, the walls that are meant to be protection are breached by our pride. Then we stumble on the debris of the fallen wall. This shows the danger of pride in a nutshell. It does not learn from its mistakes. It just keeps going until it's utterly destroyed and fallen. You see, pride may cause the wall to fall, but the haughty or lofty-looking individual will not see the danger and they'll trip over it. One of the things that you will have the hardest time doing in life is convincing someone who is proud or, you know, full of pride that they're wrong on something. And you might, and part of the reason why we've run into this difficulty sometimes is sometimes we're prideful or we're proud and we don't know how to approach a situation correctly. And it's when we put ourselves in this position to think, you know what, I'm better than them, that we can find danger right around the corner. In fact, during the Battle of the Wilderness in the Civil War, Union General John Sedgwick was inspecting his troops. At one point, he came to a parapet over which he gazed out in the direction of the enemy. His officer suggested that this was unwise, and perhaps he ought to duck while passing the parapet. "Nonsense," snapped the general. "They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." And a moment later, he fell to the ground, fatally wounded. He was proud. He knew that his men could shoot good, but the other army couldn't. And they warned him, "Sir, you might not want to do this." And before he could finish his sentence, he was struck and killed. And this is a true story. It's funny because we've had this happen in our lives. There are times where we start to go, you know what? I can do this on my own. I'm not even going to pray about this. I'm just going to make this thing happen. And that's usually like a second before disaster can strike. And one point that I wish to make with about this destruction and fall, they don't happen in a vacuum. Pride doesn't just happen, right? There was something that happened before them. As we see in this verse, the word precedes destruction and fall. There's words there that precede them. It's the word before, right? It says pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, if we go back over to chapter 15 in Proverbs, we see that we are given the secret to experience honor instead of destruction. That's what I love about Proverbs. Not only does it warn against doing dumb stuff, but it gives us wisdom to do good things that are much more beneficial and intelligent and wise, right? But Proverbs 15:33 states, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." When juxtaposed with our verse here, the author of Proverbs gives the reader an option to walk toward and in honor, or toward and in destruction. Take a moment and ask yourself, which before are you walking in? Are you walking in humility or pride? And if you're walking in humility, be careful not to take pride in it. If you do find that you're looking at yourself, you know what, I'm learning to be humble. Be careful. Pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness. Our virtues become vices. We can easily become like the Sunday school teacher who, having told the story of the Pharisees and the publican, you remember the story where the Pharisee was standing there at the altar and he was saying, "Thank God I'm not like this publican. Thank God I'm not like this tax collector," right? Remember that story? Well, the Sunday school teacher tells his children that, and then he says, "Children, let's bow our head and thank God that we're not like this Pharisee." He completely missed the point of the lesson. Pharisee going, "Thank God I'm not like this publican." The Sunday school teacher telling the story says, "All right, children, let's thank God that we're not like the Pharisee." And a quote that is often misattributed to C.S. Lewis, I've attributed to him in the past until I did a little more research, but it's actually from Rick Warren, says, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is thinking more of others. Humble people are so focused on serving others that they don't think of themselves." And what I like in this passage is that one of the ways that Rick Warren is pointing out to be humble is to focus on caring for others, serving others. If we focus that as our goal, it's a little bit harder for pride to come in. It still can, so we do have to be wary of that. And I did find another passage from C.S. Lewis that is the reason that one gets attributed to him, and I like this one too. It's a little more pointed here. It says, "Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be sort of greasy, swarmy person who's always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. If anyone would like to acquire humility, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. I like what C.S. Lewis does here. He says, if you want to be humble, the first step is to realize that you're proud. He says, and it's a big step too. Here's the part that kind of gets you at the end. C.S. Lewis tags us a little bit. Nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you're not conceited, it means that you're very conceited indeed. Just a challenge tonight, as I wanted to do something a little bit lighthearted, but kind of dealing with serious issues. And asking ourselves, are we truly humble? And if you do start to think that you're humble, watch out. And then ask yourself, do I ever struggle with pride? And if your answer is no, I never struggle with pride, that's because according to C.S. Lewis, it means you're very conceited indeed. So just a challenge tonight and a reminder, a kind of a lighthearted reminder, but a reminder nonetheless, that humility is a funny thing. Once you realize you have it, you lose it. It's like, hey, look at me. I'm the most humble guy here. Thank you. And this concludes our devotion.